chapter. And we'll begin with verse 6. Now that you have been seated, we'll give you an opportunity to stand and give reverence to the reading of God's holy word. A little bit of activity there. Romans 5, and beginning with verse 6. For when we were yet without strength. Now, there is about three things here I want us to pick up on here. And that's the first one. That we were without strength. We had no way of rescuing ourselves. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrated, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet, here we are, in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now, here's a good word, justified. Being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, through Christ. For if when we were enemies, there's another one, there's another word that describes who we were. We were sinners, we were enemies, we were strangers. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. There's a battle that was going on, and we came to a place of reconciliation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That is, he continues to live within us. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received, there's that good word, atonement. You may be seated. In verses 6 through 8, God gives us an outstanding description of God's love toward us. I think that in this life, we've probably not come to full realization of what God's love is like for us. The Bible says that he loved us so much that he gave his Son to die on the cross that we might have redemption. This is a His love for us goes beyond anything that you and I can imagine. But I think that when we come to grips with how much God loves us, then there is a stirring within us that causes us to want to serve him, to love him back. And the Bible says that he loved us before we loved him. But we follow him and we obey him through our love for him. In verse 6, the Bible says that Christ died for the ungodly. In the original language, the word for means for the sake of, in behalf of, instead of. And so he died instead of, he died on behalf of, he took the place of the sinner on the cross. So you see, folks, you and I should have been on the cross. Have you pictured that any? Have you thought about that? I think, I don't want to see it again, but I saw the Passion one time. I do not want to see it again. It was devastating to me just to see it once. But I've half thought about Christ's death on the cross. I've listened to some songs lately of him laying his hand out for them to drive the nails through, and for them to drive the nails through his feet. And I picture that sometimes in my mind, and what it felt like to have the crown of thorns pressed down upon his head. And the beatings that he went through, more, the Bible says that he was beat to a point that he was unrecognizable. He did not look like a human being. And here the Bible says that he took that instead of us. That's what you and I deserve. That's what Lanny deserved. But Jesus Christ took my place instead of Lanny. Jesus Christ took my place on the cross. Look with me at John's Gospel, the 11th chapter. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 11. And it's got lots of verses in it. So it's verse 50. John 11, 50. And here, the Pharisees planned to kill Christ. And a prophecy was made, even though he did not realize he was making a prophecy. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. You remember, Gwen and I have been listening to the Gospel of John in the mornings. Alexander Scorby reading it. And in this place, in the Scripture, their fear, it drives me crazy. He was doing miracles. He fulfilled everything that the Bible says that would make him Christ. He was the Son of God. And yet their fear was, they said, if we don't get this stopped, the Romans will come and take away our position. They were more concerned about their position than they were about murder. But that was just the small part of it. They were, Peter said, they murdered the Son of God. They're by wicked hands, the Bible says, they murdered the Son of God. And he made a prophecy that it was for us. Look with me over at the book of Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, Galatians. Look at Galatians 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He became sin for us who do no sin. Secondly, God demonstrates his love for us that verse 6 says that we were without strength. Verse 8 says, while we were yet sinners. And verse 10 says, we were enemies. Christ died for us. You and I were all those things. And you know, we have to be cautious or we'll forget our theology. We live in a society that in part practice salvation by works or by baptism. I just returned from Wisconsin, where I have several relatives that do not understand the teaching of the Word of God. And we were leaving on Saturday, so I didn't go, and I'm glad that we were leaving on Saturday, but I was invited to a baptism service of two small babies. Now, friend, what I wanted to say was, you cannot baptize a baby, because a baby has not reached the age of accountability. A baby does not understand that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for his or her sin. And it is created by man. There is absolutely nothing in the Scripture that would say that we can baptize someone, baby or adult, and it secures their salvation. You see, the Bible says here that Christ died for us while we were without strength, when we could not save ourselves. We had reached that place where the psalmist said, I was in the horrible pit and I was in the miry clay. And called out to the Lord, in Lanny's translation, I called out to the Lord and He reached down and He picked me up out of the horrible pit and the miry clay, and He set my feet upon the rock and put a new song in my mouth, praise to my God. And many will see it and their lives will be changed. That's what the psalmist said. So we were without strength while we were yet sinners, verse 10 says. While we were yet sinners. You see, until we come to that place to accept Christ's death for us, we cannot be saved. We have to understand that we are sinners. I listened to a story this afternoon by David Jeremiah. He talked about two little boys that his mother was, they could not get them to mind. The only problem that my folks had with me about minding, Lonzo, was when I was away from them and they couldn't see me. But they had a way to get my attention, and it was called a peach tree limb. Well, this mother, that's the reason our peach tree never did grow any peaches. Me and my brother, she kept that thing stripped. These two little boys wouldn't mind. And this mother had a discussion with her neighbor and said, I just can't do anything with them. And she said, well, you know, when my boy was about that size, I was having a lot of trouble with him. Said, I took him to visit the pastor. And she said, whatever the pastor said to him made a big difference in his life, because he changed after that. And so she made an appointment with this lady's pastor to bring her two boys for him to talk to. And they went in, they set the little one out in the foyer, in the pastor's foyer. And they took the big boy in first, and the mother waited out in the car. And the big boy, the older boy, came in, and he sat down, and the pastor sat down in front of him, and he's going to really make an impression on him. And he said, young man, I have a question for you. He said, where is God at? And the little boy had not been asked that before, and he didn't know how to answer, and so he just kind of looked around, and he was getting more scared all the time. And so the pastor got rougher with him, and he said, young man, I asked you a question. Where is God at? He still did not respond. And the third time he said, I mean for you to answer me. Where is God at? And the little boy jumped up, rushed out the door, grabbed his little brother by the hand, and as they went out the door, they heard him say to his little brother, they've lost God, and they think some way we've had something to do with it. Children do not, babies do not understand that they're sinners and they need Jesus. But you and I do, don't we? And the Bible says that we were without hope, that we were sinners. And then it says that we were enemies. While we were enemies, verse 10 says, while we were enemies, Christ died for us. I never thought about myself being an enemy to God. But when I was lost, I was His enemy. But when the war came to an end and He won, Isn't that good? He won. When the war came to an end, and he won, I became his adopted child. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. Glory to God, I'm a child of the King. The demonstration of God's love isn't so much in that Jesus died, but it's who he died for. You see, it wasn't just his death on the cross, was that he died in our place. That's what secured salvation for us. The cross is the ultimate proof of God's love for us. Look with me at 2 Corinthians, Romans, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Look at verse 17, 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us. Not only has he reconciled us to himself, but he's given to us the ministry. This is what it says, the ministry of reconciliation. What is the ministry of reconciliation? Is it for us to keep quiet about what has happened to us? The ministry of reconciliation is that all the lost world is doomed for a devil's hell. Every boy, girl, young man, young woman, every grandmother, every grandfather, every person who is lost is doomed for a devil's hell. Now, folks, there is nothing in the Scripture that could teach us that if our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds, that some way that'll get us into heaven. If that were true, there'd be no reason for Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. But we're to be ministers of reconciliation. What is that? That's to share the gospel with everybody that we know. It's the good news of Jesus Christ that you don't have to go to hell. You can trust him as your personal Savior. He'll change your life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And without new birth, that's not possible. That's not possible without new birth. Everyone will have to be born again. Now then, we are ambassadors, right? We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ did, be you reconciled to God. God's love toward us is demonstrated by our salvation from God's wrath. In verses 5 through verse 11 of Romans 5. Look with me. Back over at Romans 1 and verse 18. In God's nature, he has to punish sin. Sin has to be punished. It's just in his nature. And sin, the wages of sin is death. And man, if we could just realize that unpunished sin will bring about death. Unpunished sin will bring about the destruction to a society. When people sin, there has to be a punishment for sin. When someone murders, there has to be consequences for that murder. When someone steals, there has to be consequences for that. And there is. But in our life of sin, there is the consequences come in the future for those who are lost. And it is the wrath of God. Read the book of Revelation and see what happens when God pours out His wrath. Thousands and thousands die. Destruction comes to the earth. The rivers run in blood, and the streets run in blood when God pours out His wrath. And here the Bible says that through salvation, we escape His wrath. We escape His wrath through salvation. Let's see, I was going to read 18. Romans 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Really, they hold back the truth. I've never seen that any more come to life than it is in the society in which we live right now. You know, I just can't. Todd, I can't believe that we've come to where we're at. In the last 40 years, I've pastored over 40 years, and it was nothing. Society was nothing like this 40 years ago. The church is dealing with things now that it never had to deal with 40 years ago. We're a snowball headed down the hill. I mean, things are changing so fast, so dramatically. I don't know how the Lord could not come back soon. It is just, when you look at the Scripture and you look at world events, it just looks like that the birth pains are getting closer and closer and closer together. Now let's look at one final thing in Romans 5, down at verse 11. We also joy in God. This joy, I said this morning, but this joy is not just being happy, it's a triumphant joy. In other words, the race has been won. The battle has been won. It is a triumphant joy. You know, when people win the race, when they win the ball game, and you see them rejoicing, well, this is a triumphant joy. It's a joy that is filled with peace that passes understanding. It's a joy that is a settled hope, a joy that is a settled hope in our life, that God is in control, that God is in charge. We also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we have now received the atonement. He didn't say we would receive it in the future. He said that we've now received the atonement. The atonement is the price paid for our sin. We have now received the atonement. We joy. We're having a celebration because Christ has come and died on the cross and paid our sin debt. How do you think that Paul felt when the lights began to come on? You know, when he was seeing Stephen martyred, Have you listened to that sermon that Stephen, or read that sermon that Stephen preached right before they killed him? I mean, he went all the way through the Bible, didn't he? He preached the Word of God, the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation. And Paul stood watching those guys' coats while Stephen preached that message. Paul heard it, didn't he? And don't you suppose that there began to be some flickers of light there, that he began to think, this might be the truth? And then on the road to Damascus, as he was struck to the ground and the light came on, And he said, why are you persecuting me? Well, who are you? Well, I'm Jesus. And when you're persecuting, when they're stoning Stephen to death, that's me. That's my man. And Paul knew the Old Testament. He knew the prophecies. He knew the Psalms. He was a scholar in the Word of God. And a light came on. And he was immediately converted. And then he began to preach the gospel. He began to be a minister of reconciliation to other people. That this is real. It's real. People's lives really can be changed by the glorious gospel. They're transformed by the glorious gospel. We're going to have a baptism service, and so we're going to dismiss our candidates for baptism. And Donna's going to come and lead us in a couple songs. And we're going to have a baptism. You want to help me? Pardon me? As long as it don't, yeah.